Speaking of train wrecks.
Bloody train wreck. We go from WWE to TNA. Oh my god, I can't believe it's finally come to this. Ugh.
I guess we should start saying this right now, people. Welcome to part two of the Plastic Joint Presents Count Out, the Plastic Joint Wrestling Podcast.
And I don't like this part.
You and me are gonna suffer tonight, that's all I'm gonna say.
I know. Okay. I'm professional.
We'll just make it as quickly as possible. It's like just in like Flynn, man. Let's just do that.
I'm pretty sure it'll still hurt, but I'm a professional.
Yeah, professional. Professional.
FaceTime. Okay. We cut to the arena, and Jeff Jarrett's music hits. Oh my god, I can't do this!
The only thing I gotta say is, like, there's a comment that Karen said that I liked. It's like, Taco Tuesdays suck! I can't believe I'm actually doing it. Did I just say that?
Yes.
Did I really just say that?
Yes, oh, you god. Did. I know.
I'm actually praising Karen Angle. Oh my god, this is not good.
You see this already, people? Okay, people, are you already... You see this already? We just talked about the opening of TNA Impact, and already we're just, like, going crazy. And not in a good way, too.
Yeah, the worst part, it's gonna get worse before things can get better.
Ugh. Yeah, and Taco Tuesday sucks. Really? I'm just having a brain freeze just because that is a really bad writing. It's juvenile, you know?
Well, I got a chuckle out of it. But then again, okay. I get a chuckle out of like fart jokes, so.
Okay, well, I guess I'm more picky when it comes to dialogues.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, stay classy. That's all
I mean,
say.
Believe me, I'm a fan of some juvenile jokes. I mean, do you remember way back when Santino and Vladimir had that tea party with Sheamus? Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yes. And that was hilarious, wasn't it?
Yeah, I love that. And one of the jokes
Santino talked about was and it was about like how Sheamus always gets angry. It's like two reasons that people came up with it. One of the reasons being is that Sheamus exposes himself to gamma ray every morning.
No, the funniest one he says, I got a lot of cookies here. I got sugar cookies. I got...
Wait, go on.
No, that's a joke. He was able to say ginger cookies because he...
Okay, there we go. Actually, after that, he made another ginger joke.
Yeah, that's the joke where he made the ginger joke. So it's like, ginger. Like I got and ginger. Then, ooh.
And then didn't he make
like,
the?
He stopped himself. What's up?
Didn't he make a milk joke after that too? You know, it's so pale as hell.
I don't know. But I'll have to ring up the promo again.
But you know what?
It'll be on show notes.
Yeah, but see, look, we. Like I said, we do like some juvenile jokes if they're done right. Taco Tuesday sucks just comes out of nowhere, more or less.
I don't know. For me, it sounded to me like something like the random stuff that what's his face Scott Steiner would say.
Oh, we'll get to that later. Oh, we will.
Yeah. Anyways. Yes,
anyway, I'm just gonna.
Let's just skip this before you start dying of asphyxiation or something like that from not trying to do this.
God, yeah, there's not enough oxygen for our brain for this crap.
Oh no, it's like we're not gonna be able to make it to the. We're not gonna be able to make it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Velvet Sky versus Angelina Love with Winter, aka Zombie Infestation.
A.K.A. Katie Lee Burchill.
A.K.A. skip this shit. I don't care.
Exactly. Let's skip that.
Alright, so. In the parking lot, Mr. Anderson arrives in a big Ford pickup. We'll get to that later. And then...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
after that... talk about it. No, that's why...
No, we'll get there later. I was
preparing myself.
It leads up to something. So, commercial break, and then after that, Matt Morgan is looking for Scott Steiner, and he's just trashing, like, kicking stuff, just trashing, like, yelling, "Where's Steiner?" You know, blah, blah, blah. And Mexican America, by the way, if you don't know who they are, it's a team of Hernandez, Anarquia, Sarita, and Rosita. And my problem with this stable is that it feels like a mishmash. You know, I mean, Conan's not in TNA anymore. Homicide went to Ring of Honor. So they're thinking, hey, we gotta use Hernandez somehow, and this whole Supermax didn't work out. So let's just make LAX version 2, except it's not gonna be as good as LAX.
Yeah. I think I want to say Sarita or Rosita, one of them, I think they're actually Puerto Rican. I'm not 100%, like, don't hold me accountable
probably,
for that.
Probably but, Rosita, because I think Sarita is Canadian.
Oh god, it's even worse.
But hold on, let me check. Go on.
No, that's just my point. The second point I wanted to make is whenever those guys come out, they drape a part of the impact zone with a big Mexican flag. So a part of the audience cannot see what the hell is happening. Something maybe it's either a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, it's TNA. Maybe it's better off.
Yeah, hopefully, hopefully they just leave it up for the rest of the night. But that's not going to happen, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And the promo they cut, another thing I don't like about it is that the promo they cut is really, like, flat, you know? Like, they're really trying hard to be all, you know, Mexican and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but they like, you know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I'm Mexican, you know? You know, and I love being Mexican and stuff like that. It's just, like, they just come off as more like you're trying too hard, homeboys.
Yeah. And you know they can tell, because Anarchia starts saying, you know, next week is Cinco de Mayo, and we will be celebrating on Impact. And he also says after this, you know, this land was your land, now it belongs to us, Mexican America.
Yeah, I could have cut a better promo in my sleep.
He could. I've heard it. Remember at that one convention? Yeah, remember that one convention? Yeah, we heard you actually cut a promo during your sleep, and I thought it was funny as hell.
Are you sure it wasn't me fighting? Are you sure it wasn't me fighting against the Pepsi machine next to the ice machine?
I think it depends. Was it PMX or was it? Who cares? You know. I'm sure it was one of them.
It was PMX, yeah. I must have been sleep promoing because I think most of that con was like that con was like so, like, no offense, but that con was boring. if we were just out and about, it was boring as hell. The only time we really had fun was like when all of us and all together were in that room. But whenever we went down there, I was like, okay, I'm done. I just go back upstairs and go back to sleep.
Oh, man. We might have to go back again. You know that, right?
You know, we love you, PMX. We love you so much.
We love you. We love you. Anyways, going back to the... It's not a
boring con at all.
and yet you just said, oh, whatever. You know, scratch it out.
All right, keep going.
Okay, let's keep going before, PMX start hating us.
All right, so we after that promo...
Anarchia versus Chris Sabin.
Mm-hmm.
And this was where things got really cringing worthy because Anarchia started talking again because I don't know what happened what happened is that the Sabin hit the flying clothesline, right?
Yes. But
either Anarchia wasn't far enough or Sabin jumped too far, but whatever happened, Sabin landed really awkwardly, like just tweak the ankle and then slam the knee pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like nothing happened from my vantage point, but yeah, I think Anarchia was just a little too far, because it seemed like, you know, he was just selling the fact that he went a little too far from my vantage point. I don't know how you see it.
I don't know. I mean, it could go both ways, to be fair, you know, because Sabin's done this move plenty of times, but you never know with, you know, human variable, so...
Yeah, especially with such high-risk maneuvers.
Yeah, so... But whenever I see that replay, I'm just like, oh my... I can actually see it. It's just like, he really landed badly, and it's like, ugh, you know?
Ugh. We'll see what happens when we get the results from, like, later on.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he's okay.
Yeah, we hope.
Yeah. So, after that, we move on to Scott Steiner, your favorite wrestler.
I'm making him an egg!
Okay, in the back, Scott Steiner is... Try to picture this, if you will. Scott Steiner playing golf with like 5-6 inch baby putter that's bright yellow.
And if you don't know how Scott Steiner looks, the guy is like this jacked up freak of nature. So you have this jacked up freak of nature with like this little with this little kitty putter. That man is God bless you, sir. Seriously, God bless you.
We salute you, Scott. We salute you.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And then, keep going.
Yeah, he tried to play golf with a toy golf club, and he just keep missing, so he just tosses a golf club to the ground.
Okay, the problem, the reason, it's just, I have the images in my head. That's the worst part. It's just like, keep going.
Okay. So, after the commercial, Matt Morgan is throwing more stuff, right? And yeah. Steiner just, out of nowhere, like, pops his head behind the curtain and goes like, you know, come and get me.
Hey, you! Come get me!
And Morgan follows him, and Steiner ambushes him, just, you know, knocks him around left and right, and, you know, chokes him, trying to choke him out with the wires, too, and somewhere along the line, Scott Steiner is still talking smack, like, you know, like, you're Division 2, I'm Division 1, I'm better than you, blah-de-da-de-da, you know, and he's talking smack after...
You forgot the best part. He said, why is the sun rise? Why is the moon go down at night?
I don't know if he said this, but I'm not going to be surprised if he did. But then Morgan counters, and now it's Morgan's turn to whoop Steiner's ass, and he does, and he takes a chair that's around and starts choking Steiner with it, and then Steiner like just yells out, like, I'm really sorry.
God, you really are saving this really, really shitty show. Bless you two so much. That's all I gotta say. Just bless you two.
I find this hilarious in both good ways and bad ways. Good way because it's funny. I mean, it's Scott Steiner. It's funny. And I would like to personally think that Scott Steiner is making TNA Impact just a little bit more watchable.
Yep. That's how I look at it. It's like the man is at least trying to, like, you know, the man knows where he is. So he's at least trying to have some sort of fun with it.
Yeah. At the same time, I'm thinking, wait, 5 minutes ago, you talked all that smack. You... As a heel, technically heel, is trying to be all confident and badass, and yet there you are, you're saying you're sorry. Doesn't that kind of kill all the momentum?
Well, I don't know. At this point, it's like, you can do anything, and I wouldn't bat an eye.
I guess, I mean, look at it. I just thought it was a little bit weird, you know? I'm not going to say it's completely stupid, but, you know. We'll get to that part later, by the way.
Speaking of stupid.
And speaking of stupid, thank you very much, we see Sting just pretty much destroying Mr. Anderson's truck. And by destroy, I mean just shattering the glasses. Shattering all the windows, pretty much.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. And he shatters them. Actually, he shatters the front window pretty badly that it created a hole, and he just pretty much put the baseball. Yeah, he pretty much put the baseball in that hole, you know, sort of like a calling sign, you know?
It's like, that Sting. He's back again. I know this.
Yes.
He left his bat.
Yes, just like that.
That's a really shitty. If he was a criminal, that'd be like you'd be a really shitty. You'd be a really shitty criminal if he left as his calling sign.
I know, it's like
he left the murder weapon here,
and his business card. And his business card and his social security and his driver's license.
Yeah, we got everything to ID this guy. No, we gotta zoom in. You gotta zoom in further. But sir, I don't care. We need a zoom in. How's a zoom in? That doesn't make any sense. Anyways, keep going with this before I start inventing more words.
Yeah, I know. TNA World Television Championship. Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels challenging the champion Gunner. And let me just say that after watching this, I am not impressed with Gunner. I don't think he deserves to have title at this point. Because I've only seen probably 2 or 3 moves off of him.
Yeah, that's all he can do, unfortunately.
Yeah. And Daniel had a lot more moves than him. I mean, holy hell, Christopher Daniels had a crucifix roll-up and STO, his signature STO, and then Fall from Grace, which is pretty much top turnbuckle flapjack, and BME.
So pretty much what you're trying to say is that the guy fights like 20 Gunthers put together.
Well, he fights like Miz, pretty much.
You see, the thing is, that's the thing. It's like, we always make fun of John Cena. Like, am I repeating myself now?
More or less.
I was going to say, it's like, I'm just going to get to the point. The Miz has less moves than John Cena. There you go.
By one. Yeah. So, pretty much how it ends is, Gunner wins with F5 of all the moves. And, F5, yeah.
Yeah, I want to F12 this at this point.
So, Gunner keeps the title.
And F12.
Yeah.
Alt F12.
Yeah, I know. Look. If Matt Morgan does F5, that's one thing. He can pull it off. You know, Brock Lesnar did it. Yeah, that's fine. You know, both men have enough physical build to actually make it look impressive. When Gunner does it, it looks like he's struggling.
It's like, don't even try to do moves you can't do. Please.
Yeah, because he had a hell of a time trying to lift Christopher Daniels over his head, and Daniels is not that big a guy either, so
He must have just gassed himself out at one point. He was like,
more or less, but alright, moving on. After that match, commercial break, and Sting comes down to the ring and calls out Mr. Anderson. Yeah, here we go.
Okay. This is alright, I got my soda right here, and I got my chips. Proceed.
I'm gonna hate this moment. God damn it. Alright, Anderson comes down. See, I can't even do this right. Like, I'm thinking back to that moment, and I can't do it. I can't do it.
Sum it up.
I can do it. I just need to do this. Okay. Anderson makes his way down to the ring and pretty much has the badass thing left, right? You know, the one that I talked about. And pretty much asks, this is the actual dialogue, by the way, so bear with me, okay? He holds up the bat and asks Sting, did you destroy my truck? And Sting says, and I'm not kidding you, no. And Anderson says that the soul, the video, and the witness he just saw Sting smashing his windows out was a fragment of imagination. And Sting says, yeah. And Anderson asking the same question again. I'm going to ask you again. Did you break my window? And Sting just says, yeah, it was me. And Anderson says, okay, you know what I'm going to do now? And he just holds up the bat like he was about to hit Sting with it or something. And then Anderson goes on to say, I am going to replace the windows. Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, it gets better. That's right. I'm going to get them replaced because I'm rich, biatch. And he just goes on to emphasize that, yeah, that's right. I just called you a biatch. And
I feel the same way right now. Trust me.
Yeah. That is, we're just, okay, that is the point where my brain just, like, had just stopped. Everything just stopped. At that point, everything around me just stopped that instance. Not because it was awesome, not because it was epic, no, because it was just sheer stupidity of it all just stopped the time. I don't know how that works, but it did. Everything just stopped, and I was just sitting down and thinking, like, did that dialogue just happen? Did that script writing, did I just witness it? Because there is... Now, you have to keep in mind, that this is a promo for the heavyweight championship match that's going to be later on. This is a heavyweight championship material feud, skit, dialogue, and this is the best you can come up with? Really? That is, like, this is, oh my god, my brain just froze again. See? It's doing it to me again. No?
Okay, this is the worst part. It's like, this is not the first time we did this show, so it's like, I think I just broke them twice.
More or less.
The worst part is, like, I don't, like, I'm pretty sure Deb's gonna want an explanation about why her boyfriend has become a drooling vegetable. I'm like, and it's gonna be essentially the same conversation that Sting and Anderson had. Essentially, where it's like, why is he broken? He's fine. Why is he broken, though? You broke him when you recorded the show. It's like, oh no, it's just a figment of your imagination. Ramsey's, did you or did you not break my boyfriend? Yeah, he did. Well, you know what? I'm gonna go fix him. A sandwich! I am doing the worst impression of Deb, by the way. She is going to kill me tonight. In my sleep.
No, but... I can actually picture... you know what? I can actually imagine that happened, though. So, you're not that far off.
No, that's the worst part. It's like... And essentially... did you just see what that dialogue is? That was just jokey dialogue between me and Stan.
Yeah! Now,
that's just jokey, like, ha-ha kind of... And this is... We're supposed to take that as, like, the big build-up for the main event... Of a championship match?
Bullshit! No! Like, you can... After this dialogue, you cannot take anything seriously from these guys. No!
Nope. That JPEG.
No! It just baffles my mind. It's like, do people actually watch this and take this seriously? Because I'm sorry, I can't. You know, I may not be a writing major, but I know a bad script when I see one.
Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is like me, like, a couple of years ago when I first started writing bad.
Holy crap, this is the type of thing that, like, fifth graders come up with. As a matter of fact, I am inclined... Oh, go on.
No, you go on first, because you might share the same thought that I
did. As a matter of fact, I am inclined to believe that some fifth grader from Tennessee that was just, you know, having a fun time touring, you know, Universal Studio Orlando just decided to write on a napkin, and Vince Russo found it and just implemented it.
No. You got it all wrong.
Oh?
You got it all wrong. The fifth grader actually did a better script. It's Vince Russo that actually decided to muck it all up.
He's just thinking like, okay, if we put it out as is, we're gonna get sued by this kid. So yeah, dumb it down.
No. It needs more stuff on a pole. That's what we need. We need more stuff on a pole. That's what we need. Trust me, people like stuff on a pole. It worked once at WCW. We can work it again.
But sir, that doesn't work anymore. It's not
1990. Do you want to put in another stipulation where we put you on a pole match? Secretary on a pole match, do you really want that?
No, sir.
Good. Then you do that. Secretary on a pole match. You know what? I better shut up before I give people ideas.
Too late. You already got it.
Damn.
I know. Alright. After that atrocious, oh god damn it, just thinking about it just gives me a headache, you know, it just rapes my senses. After that dialogue, RVD comes out. Come on, Rams, do it.
I can't do it out loud, but RDV the whole show effing
There we go. RVD comes down and just pretty much says, dude, I want to be in this match too, you know. Pretty much.
Yeah, I bet 20 bitches shits for Dallas. He doesn't even know where he is. He's like, am I still employed at WWE? Whoa.
Or am I in the Applebee's? Whoa.
Whoa, this is the greatest Applebee's ever, man. Far out.
Dude, Anderson, since when are you working in Applebee's?
Dude, I kind of swear we just bumped into each other like a few years back in WWE, man. I didn't know you were here, too.
Oh, man. So anyways, Hulk Hogan walks out with a lead pipe saying, okay, I'm going to make a three-way match between Sting, Mr. Anderson, and Bully Ray out of nowhere.
And this is the part where it's like, if you thought you had a problem with the dialogue, I had a problem with the booking, where it's just like, Bully Ray? What? Seriously, I was just like, what the hell do you have to do with anything remotely possible to the World Heavyweight Championship or anything like that at all? You weren't even in anything of... You weren't in any part of it, like, anything remotely related to anything, and you're doing that. Like, what the freaking hell?
See? Seriously. See, the booking is just so terrible, it just broke Ramsey's brain.
No, yours is the writing, me is the booking. It's like, what the hell happened here?
Yeah, it's just... But, you know what? It's somewhat, and I mean, I'm being gracious here, somewhat makes sense later on. We'll get to it later, but... Mm-hmm. At the commercial break again, it's Crimson versus Samoan Submission Machine Samoa Joe. And I gotta say, it was great. It was a good match, you know, for what it was worth for TNA. It was a really good match, and that's because both men just wailed on each other, and they pulled, like, whatever red tape the TNA put them on for 5 minutes they had. And let me give you an example. Now, just to give you an idea, Samoa Joe is this 350 stones worth of guy. He's huge.
Yeah, he makes me look good in terms of weight.
Right. And we have Crimson, who is like 6'6", 230 pounds. You know, when you look at his physique, he's like kind of lean for what, you know, for his stature. And this guy, T-bone suplex Samoa Joe, clean.
Ouch.
Yeah. Oh, but you know what? Joe's not gonna beat by that easily. No, no, no. At one point, Joe did the whole, you know, back elbow, running back elbow into the corner, right? His usual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by leaping enziguri.
Nice.
Yes. So, and it would have been a great match if not for the end where Abyss runs down and attacks Crimson out of nowhere. So, disqualification.
Did he have Janice with him?
Nah.
Damn.
Yeah, I think he moved on from that.
I can't believe I should remember that.
I know! What the hell, huh? So, okay, so... Yeah, go on.
No, but keep going.
Okay, so commercial break, and we're back, and Kurt Angle talking about, like, you know, Kurt Angle is gonna introduce the woman that, that's gonna haunt Karen Angle or something like that. Next, moving on. Mickie James cuts a promo thanking the fans. Moving on.
Yeah, moving on because it's like, how long more before her arm just completely just separates from her body from how bad her injury is.
I don't know, man. At some point, they're gonna have to build a bionic arm for her, like Nathan Spencer.
The only difference is I don't think she'd be able to pull off those awesome combos that he does in Marvel's Capcom 3.
Well, we won't know till we get put one on her.
That's what I'm afraid of, too, if she perfects those combos. Anyways.
Anyways, now we get to the main event. TNA World Heavyweight Championship. Three-way between the Sting, Bully Ray, and Mr. Anderson. And here's the funny part. Now, before we go on, First of all, Bully Ray enters, right?
Yes.
And he has a lead pipe, and he's trying to look all badass, like, you know, Hell's Kitchen and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now, before we go on, I just have to mention that I am a cosplayer, yes, you know, call me dork, geek, whatever have you, you know, or...
Nerd.
Thank you. I've been actually looking forward to that. So, when it comes to what people wear, I am sort of sensitive in terms of material they wear and the colors they wear, right? So, Bully Ray comes out looking all badass with the lead pipe, right? You know, he has a beanie on, obviously. And he is wearing a black and gray, kind of like a bowling shirt, you know, with a, you know, Bully Ray and then a Hell's Kitchen, you know, all that New York patch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, he's wearing a knee-cut short with a bright orange and yellow camouflage. Now, I'm thinking at that when I see that, I'm thinking at that point, dude, you are not Bully Ray. You're at the very least like Tourist Ray. You know, for all I know, you could have been touring Universal Studios and just decided to come back for a match.
Dad, you stole my joke.
Mm-hmm. My bad.
No, that's fine. I'll keep going.
No, you know what? At that point, you might as well just bring in, you know, camera, like, hanging around your neck or something. And a brochure from Universal Studios, too.
I'm just thinking, it's just, I don't know, I just had an image of him just, it's like, I just had an image of him just dressed up as Frank West, just like him taking a picture, zombie, he's like, beautiful. Anyways,
and then Mr. Anderson comes down, and Sting comes down, looking like, well, looking like a, you know, Las Vegas version of Sting. Yeah. Just, like, see? His culture... Okay, at this point, you know what? At this point, it's safe to say he's trying to emulate Ric Flair, because his coat has, like, you know, sequins and, you know, this, like, like, it's almost like a hybrid between Ric Flair's coat and, you know that defining moment figure from Macho Man Randy Savage, right? That one jacket with all those tassels hanging out? Yeah, it's a hybrid of that, except red sequins and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was just thinking, it's like, that's sort of the thing that Sting used to wear before he went all crow on everyone.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he used to wear, like the Sergeant Pepper jackets and stuff like that. Like, that was his look before he went all, before he went all crow on all of us.
Ooh, my memory's, sorry, my history's a bit shaky on Sting, so.
No, that's fine, that's why I'm here.
Alright. Cool. But yeah, so they have a match and goes on and on and on. And towards the end, Bully Ray started hitting people with a lead pipe until AJ Styles comes out of nowhere and just starts wailing on him. And Sting picks up the pipe, hits Ray. Referee counts 1-2-3, and Sting keeps the title. And after that, it's kind of like a reaction sort of thing where they just go over who's having a... They cut a promo and then just pretty much emphasizing who has a feud with what.
And yeah, it's like if you forget who's fighting who, here's a little rundown of who's who.
Yeah. So, after the match and the commercial break, Bully Ray talks about, you know, he's pretty much saying, like, what business did AJ Styles have to come down to the ring and interfere and just attack him? Like, he's just pretty much saying, like, you know, like, what did I ever, what the hell?
Title?
Not just that. What the hell did I ever do to AJ? And it's just like, what haven't you done to him? You put him through, you powerbombed him through the table, you cost him his matches, you just kept attacking him. This is like, what's the point of saying that? You know?
It's like, it's LOL TNA at this point.
By the way, it is!
By the way, I have something to talk about at the end of this that pertains to TNA.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, so we go on, and then AJ and Fortune, and then after that, Steiner, who keeps smack talking about kicking Morgan's ass after saying, I'm sorry.
But I can't, like we just said earlier, it's like, it's for the better. This is actually something I'm actually looking forward to.
It's Scott Steiner.
I know.
And then Jeff and Karen talk about Angle's woman, her preserve. Velvet is pissed, blah, blah, and then back to Karen and Jeff. The end. God. I can't take this
anymore. So, how do you rate the show? Troll face.
Troll face. Yes, I'm gonna give this troll face. God.
It's like... We're gonna punch who now after this? You or me or both of us?
I don't know who I want to punch. I don't want to punch someone. God. Oh, man. This is terrible, man. I got like at this point, I'm almost like a, I got like a voice in my head or something.
Oh, so you're becoming Randy Orton?
Oh, if only. If I get to RKO Vince Russo, then yes, I will gladly be Randy Orton.
That would actually be a good thing.
I know, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. I'll help you.
Oh, thank you. But you were about to get to some pointer about TNA.
Well, it's just TNA in general, period. That actually just transpired like within the last couple of days that we forgot to talk about, but TNA has already filed a copyright And now they are going, like, in the next few weeks, they're going to be transitioning from TNA to Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, they're really trying to emphasize the fact that they actually have wrestling. The only problem with that is that they don't! Listen, this
they got
is
a couple, they got people who are bitching all the time, that's what it is.
Yeah, listen. Listen, this is a two-hour show. And I actually counted. They had at most about 30 minutes worth of actual wrestling. The rest of the hour and a half is pretty much promo and, you know, skits, more promo. And if you're going to have a term wrestling in your, you know, in your show's title, as Ramses and the Spoonie said before, Wrestle! God damn, just keep it.
Well, the thing is, it's like they're changing the entire company's name, so they're going to be transitioning from that. So it's like, I don't know what I think about this, especially like what you just said. It's like they're doing this without really, you know, giving us wrestling. Period.
Yeah. Bullshit, I say. Bullshit.
Bullshit, indeed.
Yeah, I will only accept this if they try to transition the entire company back to where they were in around 2004, 2005, when they just showed up in Fox Sports Net.
I thought 2005, that was a big change from, I think that's when they went back to, I want to say that's when they went to Spike TV.
Okay, then, I say 2003, 2004, because I remember
yeah, that's first, about right.
Yeah, because that's when they showed TNA Impact on Fox Sports Net. And
yeah, because that, like, I'm sorry.
That was, yeah, go on.
I was going to say that, like, that the dates are not jiving with me, that's why.
Yeah, and you know what? That was pure wrestling.
Okay. TNA Impact from Fox Sports was from May 2004 to May 2005.
Okay, I wasn't that far off.
Yeah. And okay. It started on Spike on 2005. Like, okay. Of October that year.
Okay. Okay, so I wasn't that far off. But yeah, when they were in Fox Sports Net, it was pure wrestling. And at that point, if they change everything to back then where they were, then I will accept Impact Wrestling. Until then, fuck you.
Yeah. I think that's the problem is, we used to always run by belief of, like, 1 hour was not enough for them to put everything. They were trying to do a two-hour show in 1 hour. Now they're just trying to, like, really stretch out 2 hours without really utilizing the time more wisely.
Mm-hmm.
That's my problem with it right now. It's like, they could be doing so much better right now, but it's like, I mean, because the thing is, like, you got 2 hours of time, and they're burning those 2 hours with, like, useless skits and, like, useless, you know, promos. It's just, no, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. In every manner, too. God, we could go on and on and on about the TNA rage, and you know what? Let's just move on before our brain starts exploding from rage.
Yeah, we better, because, like, I think, like, the more we talk about TNA, the more we're just, like, the rage is going to build up, and the more we're just going to, like, end up just punching each other. What is up with me and wanting to punch each other? Like, I like you, man. I really honestly do. I would never punch you.
I don't know. Too many manly anime?
Maybe. I have been on the streak of watching Saint Seiya again, so, like, more of self-sacrificing than it is manly. It's like, most of the time that series is like, I'll die for you! And then they just die in like a bottle, they die in an explosion of blood or something like that. It's like, well, oh, ooh.
That still kind of explains a lot, considering Seiya does punch people a lot.
Because he's a loudmouth idiot. There's no, I'm not kidding you. That they designed him to be like the archetypical shonen hero where he just punches things. I'm gonna beat everything by punching it. That didn't work. I'll punch it again. I'll do it again. 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 God damn it, why can I do anything? I'm useless. Self-sacrifice. And then repeat that for like 144 episodes. That's what it is, basically. It's like everyone's like, I'll punch you. I'll punch you. I'll punch you. I'm useless. Why can't I beat you? I'll compensate my weakness by giving you my power. And they all just die in like a puddle of red blood. It's like, oh god, jeez. And to be honest, I love this series of death. It's just, when you watch it, when you watch it again, you're like, wow, this is very predictable.
And somewhere out, and somewhere out there, Vince Russo is writing all this down. It's like, sacrifice, yes. Yes.
Crying, the sounds of yes. Blood gushing all over the place. Yes, 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 good, good. Now can we now find a way to put this on a pole?
Blood bank, blood bank on a pole match? I don't know.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, he'll do it. Alright, so... Okay, so we
I
go
hate
from...
you so much, by the way.
I know, I know. I get that a lot. So...
I know.
Yeah, so we move on to the one that just happened about a few hours ago, WWE Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Where for one night, where all rooms are extreme.
Which isn't like much.
Yeah, it's like drinking, it's like, you know, you expect, like, you know, you expect drinking a Mountain Dew, but instead you're just drinking, like, tepid water.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I equate it to.
Yeah. Alright, so let's go over this. No. Alright, first match. No, first match is a good match, by the way. Last man standing match between Randy Orton and CM Punk with Nexus. Now, before the match went on, the Raw GM computer chimes in and goes like, new Nexus members are banned from the ringside. So it's just Orton and Punk. WrestleMania 27
good.
Redux.
Mm.
Except with a last man standing stipulation.
Yeah, and, you know, what better match for those two at this point?
Yeah, so pretty much goes on and just both men just wails on each other, as always.
Yeah.
And it ends with CM Punk flying off the top turnbuckle and Randy Orton just RKOs him.
Yeah, surprise RKO.
Mm-hmm. And Punk stays down, Randy Orton wins.
Yay.
And thus, yes. And thus ends the feud.
Yeah, so... Now it's like now we don't know what the hell's gonna happen with CM Punk.
Well, I think if the last time I've seen match in Raw, you know, like WrestleMania 27 rematch between Orton and CM Punk, where the end Punk just, you know, blows off Mason just to punt Orton, and then, you know, that gets backfired.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might catch up with Punk. I mean, we might see a slow disintegration of Nexus.
Yay, what's what we need right now? More disintegration from a group that's already been disintegrating before.
Kind of weird, isn't it?
It's like cheap styrofoam on water.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens. You know, nothing is certain at this point until we see the Raw again within, like, you know, 24 hours, so. A little less, but. Technicality. Details. Alright.
Yes.
So, next match. United States Championship between Kofi Kingston and Sheamus, and this will be tables match. And it ended with Kofi Kingston pretty much like double leg drop on Sheamus on top of the table, pretty much crashing through. So we have a new WWE United States Champion, which is Kofi Kingston.
Which means that the WWE United States Championship is officially on Raw.
Mm-hmm. Kind of had to see that coming when Sheamus got drafted to SmackDown.
Yes. Hopefully now this also means that they can get rid of that whole, you know, United States of America Championship thing that he's going, that he had going with, and just be like the regular Celtic Warrior Sheamus.
Yes, the Ginger Warrior.
The Ginger Warrior. Oh, mm-hmm. our friend Doug would be proud.
Yeah, he's got two heroes now. Then you know that, right? Sheamus and exactly. El Generico. Yeah, Sheamus and El Generico. I kid you not. He actually likes El Generico.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Oh, the worst part is like he looks sort of like him.
That's, yeah, actually, you're right. Yeah, we just put mask on him, yeah, he could be El Generico. You know, provided he keeps...
Stop! Keep going!
I will just say this, okay? One of these days, we're going to have to dare him. Hey, Doug, you have to dress like El Generico at a convention.
Yeah, dude, we got this mask. I got it from you from Mexico. Just wear it. For just a couple hours, wear it.
Yeah. And just go run around going ole.
Ole.
Ole. You sure you want to go into next match, by the way, because that's a country whipping match between King Ross and Colin Swagger. Get your helmets ready. Because Michael Cole and Jack Swagger actually won.
No wonder I'm getting sick.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Troll virus has gotten you, my man.
Oh my god, I hate these people so much. I hate this company so much. Like, why the hell are you doing this? You know, seriously, it's like, at this point, I like, what are you setting up for Michael Cole and Jack Swagger? I, honest to god, to this day, want to know what the fuck is happening here.
I don't think they have any clue either. It's just like, okay, let's flip a coin. Who wins? Ding, tail. Colin Swagger wins. But wouldn't that make the fans angry? Well, we don't have time, dude. So just run with it.
Like, we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what we're doing. We're just throwing things at a wall and seeing what happens.
Yeah, because that's the only reason I can think of. I cannot think of. Jim Ross pissing off anybody in the company, so that's the only explanation I can think of.
Yeah, just, oh my god, these fuckers. And the worst part is, this is gonna keep on going. This is just, I just know it will. That's not what I wanted at all. You know, there's some days where I don't watch Raw, and it's because, like, either I don't watch Raw because I get, because, like, I already read the spoilers already, because, you know, I watch it at a weird time, and not only that, also, it's like, I just want to watch it, because it's Michael effing Cole, man, seriously.
You can't see me, okay, you can't see it right now, you know, because we're on podcast and all, but if it was a video cast, you can totally see me, you know, giving a bird to this match. I'm looking at the recap, and I am just flipping bird. Like, I'm giving a gigantic middle finger at the name Michael Cole and Jack Swagger. Like, just like, fuck this thing. Seriously. I don't care
if I'm right now about to hang myself. Like, if this is a video podcast, you just see me, like, you know, tightening up the noose.
Fucking seriously. Like, I don't care if the wrestling is scripted or not. This type of match should not even happen to begin with.
Well, not just that. It's like, it's not, it's like, we know it's scripted and everything. It's just the problem is, you know what you're getting yourselves into when you book these types of things. You have to have some sort of idea that people are not really happy with it. You have to have some sort of idea that you gotta stop it somewhere. Do you really think this is really working for the best or not? That's what I want to know.
So far, me personally, I'm thinking, nah, it's not going anywhere. Matter of fact, it's going to piss a lot of people off.
Like I said the last time, it's like all I've been hearing as of late is just go away from Swagger and for Cole. It's just like, that's not the kind of heat you would want to be hearing right about now.
Okay, I feel like this is one of those, like, you know, gigantic fuck you to the fans, you know? They know that, you know, they want Cole and Swagger to lose, so it's just like, okay, let's reverse it, you know?
Someone must really be, like, someone, I bet you shit for dollars right about now. Someone's listening to this show or listening to some other podcast that's doing the same kind of complaints that we are, and they're just laughing up, like, haha, look at these smarks. Look at them cry. Let us drink more of their tears and grow younger.
Remember that picture from the internet, like, your tears are delicious.
Yeah, that's all I can imagine right now. They're really enjoying this stuff, and it's just, there's a difference between trolling us like that and actually make trolling meaningful. And this is going to that point where it's the earlier where it's just, this is not the trolling you should be doing right about now.
There's absolutely no purpose.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Lord. All right, so let's move on. Falls Count Anywhere: Rey Mysterio versus Dr. Cody Doom.
Dr. Cody Doom. Failure is beneath Doom. Foot dive.
Me and Andrew actually talked about this. Like, you know what? He should paint his mask silver.
Actually, I've, for the longest time, I've been an advocate of him wearing a Vega mask. Seriously, would it not be awesome to have a Vega mask?
Yeah, but I think Dr. Doom mask would have worked much better.
Yeah, but he has to do the foot dive, that's the thing.
I'm sure he can do it.
Oh, well, we gotta perfect it then. We gotta get him some jets on his back and just make him do foot dive!
Top typical foot dive. Yeah, that'll be his finisher. Awesome.
Yeah, that'll work perfectly.
Yeah. Alright, so this match, Rey Mysterio wins with 619. Yay.
Yes, and that ends that feud. It's dead at this point. Like, there's no way that this feud's gonna continue on.
Right. And the next match, loser leaves WWE, no DQ rules. Guess who wins? Between Michelle McCool and Layla. Guess who wins?
Michelle McLayla!
Yes! Michelle McLayla wins.
No, Layla wins, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. That was just being an ass.
Yeah, but everyone has to see this coming, you know. Like we said before, you know, this was announced, you know, writing on the wall is just dead clear.
Mm-hmm.
What wasn't clear was, as the crowd was singing goodbye song to Michelle McCool crying, Karma, a.k.a. Awesome Kong, walks out and just destroys Michelle McCool.
Yay! Actually, that's really cool. Karma bit her in the ass. It came back to haunt her.
Yeah. Ba-dum-tsh.
Oh my god, I can keep this up all night, ladies and gentlemen. It's barely 12 in the morning.
And guess what? It's not going to be the end of it, because Karma, aka Awesome Kong, is here to say, and we are going to make a lot of joke about that, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure, but it's going to be awesome. That is a perfect way to, like, bring in your new wrestler. That's all I got to say, especially Kong. Kudos to WWE.
Yeah, one thing they actually did right.
One of the very few things they're actually doing really well.
Mm-hmm. And alright, so let's move on to the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. The ladder match, by the way, between... You do the introduction. Don't drag it too long this time, though.
Just say when.
When? Oh, come on! Way to break the kayfabe, asshole!
You said when, I was like, okay, fine. Alright, fine. Alberto Del Rio. Honk, 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 honk Versus Christian.
Yes, versus Christian. And well, I'm reading it right now. Yeah, it's a really brutal match. Sounds like it. You know, with a ladder match and when Christian is involved, yes, of course, it's supposed to be brutal. But in the end, Christian climbs up and grabs the World Heavyweight Championship, and we have a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Christian.
Actually, believe it or not, there was Edge shenanigans. Very little shenanigans.
But still a shenanigan. You did predict it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it just seemed like there was no way this was going to end like with him winning clean. I knew it was just going to end with something with Edge interfering somehow. And like I was expecting him to have a larger role, but there's a part of me that's like they set it up pretty well where it's like he actually looks very strong, him winning, like him holding up his own for the most part, so kudos on that part. It's like I was expecting more interference from Edge, but they actually did something well and keep them at bay.
Mm-hmm. And after the match, Edge and Christian celebrate, and you know, you have to just imagine the emotion running high in Tampa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, alright, after that, it is WWE Tag Team Championship Lumberjack match. And was this match even announced before? I didn't even know this was going to happen.
I was going to ask you this. It's like, was this announced? When was this match booked?
I know, what the hell, right?
Yeah, it's Ezekiel Jackson and Wade Barrett versus The Big Show and Kane. I'm like, well, there goes the WrestleCore.
Yeah, but there was one impressive part, though, which is Ezekiel Jackson actually hit body slam on Big Show.
Ooh. Well, it looks like they're trying to set up something with Big Zeke, then.
Yeah. But again, Kane and Big Show wins. And they keep the tag team championship. Mm-hmm. And core breaks down further.
There's something rotten happening at the core. Oh, did you see what I just did there? I just did a joke. Thank you. I'm here all night, ladies and gentlemen.
And you know the sad part is? The only one who's clapping at your joke is Santino Marella.
I bet you there's others. I bet you there's, you know, Mark Henry. There's Evan Bourne.
Daniel Bryan.
Vladimir Kozlov.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Five people. There,
five people.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I bet you and Deb would be just laughing out of sympathy and be like, thank you. Like, it's sad, but we have to laugh anyways. Thank you.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Okay, so now we get to the main event, which is WWE Championship, and which is also Steel Cage Triple Threat between The Miz versus John freaking Cena versus John Prince of Parkour Palace of Wisdom Morrison.
It looks like a pretty good match, but
yeah,
the boyhood dream finally come true for John Cena.
Once again. It's like, how many times has boyhood dream come true at this point?
Like, well, how many boyhood dreams must he relive? And like, does he keep forgetting about his dream about like being an astronaut?
Maybe. I mean, he does. He probably does have his hat on pretty tight.
I know. He's not forgetting. He's like, what was my dream again? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, let's do this.
Yeah. There was a bit of a shenanigan, which is R-Truth just pretty much destroying everyone.
Ooh.
Yeah. First starts with Morrison, and then axe kick on Cena, so.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, so
this could be oh my god, I can't believe we're discussing this. I can't believe I'm about to ask this, but did R-Truth get traded?
Nah, he's still in Raw.
Oh, indeed.
At the very least, R-Truth's gonna have a feud with Morrison, definitely.
Yeah, so, that's what The thinking man would predict that that's what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, but in the end, Cena wins, and then, you know, he yells out, like, I'm back, the champ is here!
It's also, I also should be noting, it's like after the match, and this is like pertaining to what happened. The real event that happened just a few hours ago with like when they found Osama bin Laden's body. Apparently, as he was celebrating as the cameras went off, he started announcing his death, and everyone's like, the first time they started cheering, my God! And it's not for something he did.
Oh wow! Beautiful.
What a way to capitalize on something else that you didn't do, you son of a.
I mean, at that point, you probably figure, you know what, John Cena probably whips out an American flag under his shirt or something, you know?
But he knew this all along, just like The Rock.
What a timing, too. Like, as soon as he wins that title, that news comes out, you know?
That's funny too. Like I was paying attention to what was happening in the pay per view, but I was also playing Portal 2.
Mm-hmm.
So like the first like after I beat finally I beat Portal 2, which is like oh my God, you gotta get the game. So I beat the game and it's like yay, I beat the game, and it's like and it's, like everyone's like just like yay, cool. What do you thought of it? It's like this and that, and then all of a sudden like this news starts breaking out. It's like Osama, what? It's like Osama bin Laden. I haven't heard that name in a long time. And all this news starts freaking out. It's like, holy shit. Like, they're doing good. Like, that's great that they found his body, but they haven't addressed the real issue, which is why haven't they captured the Cobra Commander and the Cobra organization?
I don't know if Renegade taught us anything. Cobra is out there, just everywhere.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere, and they're within us.
Yes. But anyways, no, yeah.
Come to justice eventually. But no, it's like, yeah, and then this happens too around the same time, too. I just started realizing, yeah, it's, well, like, yeah, it's like he's, like, I see a video of him announcing this up to the public. I'm like, wow, someone's ready to get some cheers.
Oh, wow. What the? What did you send me just now? Rock New Fitness. No way. Are you serious?
He posted this like a few minutes. I think he posted this, like an hour before. I'll post his news too on our show notes, ladies and gentlemen. But it's like, yeah.
Hold on, let me see. Come on, damn website. Is this real? I mean, cause you know,
it's real, all right. It's all right, according to what these guys are saying.
Like, hold on. It's got the world and end of the free home with him to me finally. Oh. Oh, okay.
It gets even worse. Check this one out. By the way, I'm just sending him photos from and like information from 420 Chan. This is like not the worst. This is like the worst place you'd be getting this information from. But they sometimes have some amusing stuff. No, Osama bin Laden put it.
Wait, hold on. Can we have one for the end of
it? We got this. Okay, I think I better explain this one. Is this a picture of Osama bin Laden? Like, can we at least wait? I want to see the end of Extreme Rules. I paid for it. It's a picture of John Cena winning the title. And it's just this disgruntled look on Osama bin Laden's face. Like, how strong is that rope?
In retrospect, if you put it that way, you could say John Cena killed Osama bin Laden.
He's a hero to millions.
he was not saluting people for nothing. Every time he enters the ring. Yeah. Good times. Holy crap.
What are your thoughts on this pay-per-view?
I liked everything except the Michael Cole and Jack Swagger part.
Yeah, and we predicted that. It's like, what was our prediction? If you remember what we said about Michael Cole and Jack Swagger, just to refresh my memory a little bit.
I said there was two ways to go on about it, okay? First scenario being that if Cole and Swagger loses, they're going to have a feud between themselves, like Cole versus Swagger kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
If Cole and Swagger wins, which I did not want to happen, but happened anyway, then the feud will go on.
And here we are.
Feud will go on.
How tight is that rope?
I can't tell you. I don't know. You're going to have to figure it out yourself.
Oh, wait, I found the video.
I will say, though, it's like, this is one of those, like, fuck my life moment. As a fan.
Yeah, it was. It was, because it's like, that's the worst thing we didn't want happening, and it did happen.
I'll check the video later. I'll trust your word on that, but there you have it. There's our Extreme Rules recap. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it looked like a pretty good, it was a pretty good pay-per-view, except for, like, the John Cena winning and the whole Michael Cole thing.
Well, you know, John Cena...
That is... Yeah.
John Cena winning, I don't mind as much, you know? Because Miz held it long enough. So, one of these days, he's going to have to lose it.
Yeah, just one of those things where it's like, I don't know, it's just... Like I said, I'm not that mad that he got it, so it's like... It's just one of those things where it's just like... Well, and then again, too, it's like, well, Miz had it for long enough, and then John Morrison, well... Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. You got it right there, yeah, so... Alright, so that's it. There is one... News-wise, there is one thing I want to bring up, and this pertains to Tough Enough.
Oh, yes.
You remember Miss USA Rima Faki getting eliminated from Tough Enough?
Yes, I did. As a matter of fact, I can vouch for it. It's like, you know, she seems to show a lot of potential.
Mm.
But, you know, she's also, like, one of those kind of types that's, like, you know... Like, they hired just because, well, she looked pretty, so.
Yeah. Well, apparently, according to a BuzzFocus.com, that she was eliminated from Tough Enough after fracturing 3 of her ribs during practice.
Oof,
yeah. Okay, let me read. This was an interview, and question was, the BuzzFocus.com actually brought up the fractured rib part and how she got it, and then it says, and I'm quoting her, "Well, I was training with Bill one-on-one when I was already injured for about a week, and then he sat on me on the side with the fractured ribs, and I screamed out." Yeah, that's what she did. She screamed out loudly. He picked me up and is like, "Rima, I'm a father with 2 daughters. I know when they're in pain, so tell me what's going on." So I tell him how I fractured my ribs. I tell him that I was in the ring with Michelle, who claimed to have some wrestling experience, but it turned out that she didn't. And it is dangerous to be in the ring with someone who doesn't have any experience, so she kept falling on top of me and falling and couldn't roll back properly and cracked my ribs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens when you got all the green people working together. It just doesn't add up really well, and Michelle is talking about, it's not Michelle McCool, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on what side of the coin you are, but regardless, it was actually one of the contestants also participating on Tough Enough, and she hasn't had formal training, and she went, and that's what ended up happening, and that's just one of the dangers with working with someone that's just as green as the next person, is that, you know, you're going to eventually, something bad is going to happen, and, well, this unfortunately had to happen.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, you know, and I don't know, with Tough Enough, there's a lot of weird stuff happening, you know, I mean, this fractured rib is just the tip of the iceberg, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, we wish Rima the best of luck and speedy recovery, and again, best luck of whatever the hell she's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this actually brings up the good point. You mentioned the whole Greenhorn thing, and then, you know, and I mentioned the whole weird circumstance, and this brings me to what I remember mostly from this particular Toughen Up is the elimination of MDoc 20 Matt Cross.
Yeah, Matt Cross was one of the participants, and he was actually eliminated, like, I think the second day or first day. Yeah, he was actually one of the first people eliminated.
Which is surprising, this that early, and just to give you an idea, this guy has been wrestling in the independent circuit for almost a decade now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, for him to be eliminated that early, it is just mind-boggling. And, Rams, you mentioned that you know the reason, and, you know, give me a detail here. What happened?
Okay. This is what ended up happening. What ended up happening was, like, when they were, like, she was, like, not one of the ones that he was one of the ones, I'm still thinking of Rima. He was not one of the ones that were chosen, and, like, what ended up happening was, when Trish Stratus came up to him, he's like, hey, you know, why don't you show me a couple of moves, and he pretty much says, what kind of moves? And then the reason why he was eliminated was because he didn't show, according to Stone Cold, was that he didn't show initiative to any of the trainers. So that's why he got eliminated, because he didn't show initiative and didn't show a drive to the trainers, and yeah.
Okay, first of all, that is the dumbest fucking reason to eliminate someone. And let me explain. And not just wrestling, in any type of tryouts, if you want someone to show you what they got, you have to be specific. You know, even at work, like, let me give you an example. Let's say my boss comes to me and just goes like, hey, Stan, do something. Just flat out just ask me to do something. I'm like, what? I mean, do you want me to unbox these items? I mean, do you want me to pack these items? Do you want me to print out the label? Do you want me to dance like a monkey? What do you want me to do?
You want me to juggle? You want me to feed you? You want me to go on? You want me to take you on a date? That's something.
It's just like, get a little more detail here would be nice. And mm-hmm. What I'm hearing is that they didn't provide that detail. And you just heard us talking about Greenhorns hurting people, and like Matt Cross is asking that question obviously because depending on the move, he could either do it easily, or he's going to hurt someone, or hurt himself. Pro wrestling, in general, is a give and take. And you really have to have a chemistry with the person opposite of you. You know, they have to follow your move just as you would follow their move. And in this case, Matt Cross has a hell of a lot more experience than most, if not all, the contestants there. So, if whoever he performs a move with messes up, then either one of them is going to get hurt, or both at the same time. So it is crucial to know what kind of move he has to perform so that he can answer back properly. It's like, yes, I can do it, or no, that's too dangerous given the people's experience. And they didn't even get to that.
Yeah, it's like one thing can lead to another, and then we have a situation like draws, unfortunately, which I don't want to bring up, but yeah, like, if you do one wrong move, or you do, like, one wrong spot, there you go.
And it's a shame, really. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why some fans just don't want to watch this particular Tough Enough, just because there's so many shenanigans going on. And when I say shenanigans, I usually mean a good way, but in this case, no, it's a bad shenanigan.
Oh, no, this is really bad. As a matter of fact, a lot of people really turned, like, there were a lot of backlash when that happened with Matt Cross. So much, in fact, that a lot of people were pissed when they heard that. Just there's one thing I like to mention is, and the lead scenes you can find online, either on WWE or on USA.com, you can see that, like, he has a little bit of interaction with CM Punk. He's like, hey, I remember you, you know, do you remember this happening? Like, they're just, like, talking about, like old friends, and, like, just talking about old times. It just seems like So he has already experienced with someone already, so it's like, it just seems kind of weird that they would eliminate someone with that much experience that early on.
It's crazy, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But, regardless, it was really one of the most shocking moments for me, because it was like, I somewhat follow, like, the independent scene, and it's like, this guy has, like, I've been hearing a lot of other podcasts, they talk a lot about him, and it was just, they were just as mad as you are, dude. Seriously, don't think you were alone. There's a whole lot of line of people that were just as mad as you are.
Oh, I believe it.
So, hopefully he's still played under like FCW or something like that, so that he can get to like he can find another way to WWE somehow. So
I mean, it is possible, you know. I mean, getting eliminated from Tough Enough doesn't necessarily mean the end, because I remind you of a story that first ever Tough Enough, right? And during the nationwide search for the contestants, and one man came in with a fake ID, saying that he's like 30-something year old, and he actually turned out to be 40 year old. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes, we are.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure. Yes,
his name is Marty Wright, who later, and they Al Snow and people pretty much rejected Marty then and there. Months later, we see this guy named Boogeyman.
I'm gonna get ya.
And yes, Marty became Boogeyman. So, moral of the story, it's not the end.
Yeah, and he was actually not in the trials. He actually didn't make it on the show. It's just...
No, he didn't make it.
He didn't make it?
No, he didn't even make it. This is a nationwide search, you know, and...
Then what did he break his... Then where did he break his two front teeth?
Somewhere else, I guess.
Because I remember, like, he did make it, and, like, within the first weeks, like, he, like, did, like, break his two front teeth.
I don't think he ever made it to, first Tough Enough, you know?
Well, not the first one, but I know he was on the later ones.
Did he?
Let's see. I got it right here. We can always do... We got the internet right here in our fingertips. Okay, so... He first entered the professional as taking part of the fourth season of the WWE-produced reality show Tough Enough on the fourth season. He entered the two-day event in Venice Beach, where he was among the eight finalists chosen. After surviving the first day of eliminations, he attended the... He admitted he was actually 45.
Yeah, 45, yeah.
Out of 45, he was... And he didn't make it because of his age. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, told you.
Even though he'd been cut, blah, 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 he'd been training between January. So he went to OVW afterwards.
Right.
And then he went from there. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're right. But I remember seeing footage of him, like, and that's where he broke his two front teeth. Maybe that's why I must have seen it, like, when they were doing the tryouts. I must have seen that footage.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. That's what up for you, Stan.
There you have it.
So, yeah, it's not the end of the world if you don't get hired. You can still see if you can, in the case of Matt Cross, he can still, I'm pretty sure he's still under developmental, so he can pretty sure still be under developmental.
Mm-hmm. So, there you have it.
Alright, any other thing to note? Anything else you want to speak of? Anything else you want to talk about?
Nah, that's it.
Alrighty then.
I mean, it's getting late as it is, so...
It's 1:20 in the morning. It's 1:20 in the morning. Right? We need to get our sleep.
Holy shit. Yeah, you tell me.
Yeah, you got work in the morning. I got school to attend to and work. All right. So...
Send us off.
Quick. Yeah. So I'm gonna make this quick. You can find us on various kinds of ways. You can go to plastijoint.com, where you can see all of our toy reviews and get all the show notes for this show and all of our other shows that we produce. You can go to Twitter by going to twitter.com/plastijoint. And you can find us on Facebook by searching for Plastic Joint. You can also leave us feedback and questions to our official email, or you can leave us a message on the other sites that we mentioned. But our email is at plasticjointpodcast@gmail.com. Again, the email is plasticjointpodcast@gmail.com. So that about wraps it up for one show. I'm Ramses Rivera.
And I'm...
Good night, everybody. Ring the damn bell. For God's sakes.
What are you passionate about?
I'm passionate about... Well, my new passion is wrestling.
Your new passion? What's your favorite match?
My favorite match was with Melina and Alicia Fox.
Who?
Melina and Alicia Fox.
Out of all the matches in the history of this business, that was your favorite?
Like I said, this is something that I'm new to.
Any other favorite matches that I should know about?
Sorry, I can't name any.
You know how many times I told Vince McMahon I'm sorry? None.